First, one of Wisconsin's oldest state parks is about to celebrate a big milestone. A centennial celebration is planned this weekend for Perot State Park in Trempealeau, which became Wisconsin's fifth state park in 1918. Lois Larson is superintendent of Perot State Park. She joins us now to talk more about the history of the park and what's on tap for the celebrations this weekend. Lois, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Rob, and thank you for inviting me on your show today.
Well, you're up close there at the park. For people who haven't been to Perot, what makes it special in your eyes?
Perot is 1,200 acres of beautiful parkland that goes from the Mississippi River all the way up to the Bluffland. So you can walk along the trail and you can get up on top of the bluffs and get a beautiful view of the whole Mississippi River Valley.
And as we mentioned, you're celebrating 100 years of history at the park, but the history of the area goes back way further. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of what became Perot State Park?
Perot State Park was a part of a donation from John Latch, a businessman out of Winona, who wanted to preserve land in this area for everyone to use and recreate on. So he initially gave 880 acres to the state of Wisconsin to create a state park, and he wanted it specifically named after Nicolas Perot, who is a historical figure in this area as a French fur trader who came into this area in the 1600s to set up trading with the local tribes.
And there's a lot of rich history, French traders there, and tribal history as well. There are mounds, I understand, at the park?
Yes, we do. We've got, as a part of the various cultures who have lived here for the past 13,000 years, we do have a deer effigy mound. We also have a wolf effigy mound and a lot of conical mounds through the effigy cultures as well as the Hopewell culture.
So the mounds there clearly, and I think I read that a railroad company back in the day had found evidence of some of the early French traders there, some archaeological evidence?
Yes, they did. We listed as Perot, as a Perot Post, which was an area that was at one point where Nicolas Perot actually set up a fur trade and started to work in this area, and it was impacted by the railroad that went through and also by the lock and dam system that came through. So areas of that place were flooded, but they did find great archaeological evidence, including what they considered to be the post that was set up after Nicolas Perot came here.
A lot of the amenities at our state parks in Wisconsin date back to the Civilian Conservation Corps back in the Great Depression era. Can you talk about the impact they had on Perot State Park?
Definitely. We had a camp that was stationed here at Perot, the 2606 Company, and they were here from the summer of 1935 until 1937, and in those 18 months, they did a lot of work here at the park. They created a lot of the trails that we see here and people can still enjoy today. They also created a shelter building on top of Brady's Bluff, which is a great vantage point to see the whole Mississippi River.
So how else has the park changed over the last 100 years?
Well, we've increased the infrastructure of the park. We created additional campsites, so we have 104 campsites in the park. We added additional trails, which take us to 15 miles of hiking trails, cross-country ski trails, snowshoe trails. And we also are right on the Mississippi, so we do provide rentals through our friends group for canoes and kayaks, so people can actually get out on the water, enjoy Trempealeau Bay, and also look up and enjoy the bluffs in the park.
And you're on the confluence of the Mississippi and Trempealeau, is that right?
Yep, the Trempealeau River empties right into the Mississippi here in the park. So there's great fishing in this area to access, and paddling is great out on the water.
Talking to Lois Larson, superintendent of Perot State Park in Trempealeau. It's the 100th anniversary of the park, some celebrations coming up, and we're talking about the past, present, and future of that state park. Lois, talk a little bit about the celebrations going on this weekend for the 100-year anniversary.
Right. We will be having a great celebration on this coming Saturday. It starts at 10 o'clock. We're going to have some official presentation with a few speakers, and then we'll move into a really nice program with a lot of different presenters. We're going to have a variety of groups that are going to be here to discuss history, to talk about recreation, and some local artists who will be using wood, natural materials. We also have a very special a product that the Friends Group created for the centennial. It's a coloring book, And we actually have the local artist who created the drawings for that coloring book who's going to be on site here. And so you can come color with her and create your own masterpiece and learn about the park history as you go.
Now, if we stop by to check out the festivities, is there one must-see thing at Perot State Park? Like, if you go there, you better see this.
The one thing you better see is Trempealeau Mountain. And you can see that either from the base of Trempealeau, of Brady's Bluff. So you can either do that right from the Nature Center, see Trempealeau Bay, Trempealeau Mountain, and then you can hike way to the top of Brady's Bluff, and then you get another view of that mountain. It's a very sacred site. It was a navigational point of the Upper Mississippi River, and it's sacred to the native peoples in this area.
And at Trempealeau Mountain, it's actually the feature that the French gave it that name, and that's what gave the town of Trempealeau its name, right?
That's exactly right. They took wording from the local tribes, which is foot soaking in water, put that into French, which included the word Trempealeau. I don't pronounce it very well. And then Trempealeau, the village of Trempealeau, also used that in order to call their name, and also the county of Trempealeau.
Take us through the seasons at Perot State Park. What are some of the highlights as the year goes by?
In the winter, we provide cross-country skiing. We have snowshoeing. It's a quieter time. You get a chance to see the whole landscape of the park without the leaves on the trees. You get to see the bluffs. You get to see the river in a really neat time of the year. We move into spring, and that's when we get bird migration. We get a lot of birds flying up the Mississippi Flyway, heading to their summer grounds, and we get tundra swans. We get trumpeter swans. We get a lot of ducks. We get warblers, a lot of really cool birds coming through the area. Spring wildflowers. Then we move into summer. Summer is really all about camping, hiking, using the park, getting out on the water. Very busy time of year for us. But it's a large enough park that you can still find all those real intimate areas where you can enjoy the park on your own. As we move into the fall, everybody knows about fall colors. Here at Perot, our colors are a little bit later. So there are oaks and hickories. So they're not the bright maples, but they are really cool colors, and you can enjoy those in October and November.
I know parks around the state are dealing with a variety of challenges, including in many cases invasive species. What are some of the things you're working on there or watching out for there at the park?
We do a lot with garlic mustard, buckthorn, and black locust. Those are the kind of three key ones that we work with. We do have two state natural areas within the park, both on Brady's Bluff and Trempealeau Mountain. And so we work with other staff within the agency to help control invasives and to better improve those natural areas as well as other parts of the park.
And are there ways for the public to get involved, whether it's with invasives or other projects at Perot?
We always invite volunteers to come help us out with whatever their skill level and interests are. We do have the Friends of Perot, which is a nonprofit friends group that supports the park. They were founded in 1980, and they continue to this day providing lots of volunteer opportunities. They provide canoe and kayak rentals, and the funding that they get out of their concessions actually goes back into the park and back into funding a naturalist position within the park.
And just briefly, if people are planning a trip out there, what else can they check out in the area?
We do have right next door, one of our neighbors is the Trempealeau National Wildlife Refuge, and they've got a great facility over there with beautiful prairies that they've managed and maintained. We've got lots of canoe and kayak areas and a lot of local businesses. The village of Trempealeau is a really cool place to visit. Lots of little shops and little things, a little traditional river town downtown. So that's a nice area, and we're very close to both La Crosse and even Winona across the river for if you want a bigger town and bigger experiences.
Lois, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Have a good day, and hope to see everybody at the event on Saturday.
Lois Larson is superintendent of Perot State Park in Trempealeau. She joins us to talk about the park's history and its upcoming centennial celebration this weekend.